Live from the EPB Fiber Optic Studio, this is WLND Signal Mountain, Chattanooga.
Health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and so much more. Welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, a production of Whitfield Media Group, with your hosts, Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World, and Dr. Christopher Green, board-certified medical doctor.
Good morning and welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. Thank you for taking your time this Sunday morning to join us. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World here in Chattanooga. And joining me is Dr. Christopher Green, board-certified medical doctor and chief of staff of CHI Memorial, Georgia. Good morning and welcome, Dr. Green.
Good morning. Happy Sunday again to you, Ed. It's so good to be here with you again. Thank you for the kind intro. Yes, I work with CHI and have been working with them now over 20 years. It's just such an honor and a pleasure to work with them. And I want to thank them again for their sponsorship of our show and for all they're doing in Chattanooga and Northwest Georgia. Like you said, I'm the chief of staff at CHI Memorial Georgia. Love doing that. Once again, we're growing, bringing on new providers on a regular basis, expanding services, and we're going to continue to do that. And it's so fun to watch what they're doing in North Georgia. I say that every week, but it really is a great honor and a pleasure to get to work with them. Also, Benchmark Physical Therapy, love working with them. I love primary care in this area. You know, I love sports medicine, and the primary care goes back 150 years with my family, and I have kids planning to go into medicine. So, you know, what a tradition we have in the family. It's so nice to be able to serve the people of this area, just like you do. We just serve it from different angles. Like Obi-Wan said one time, it all depends on your point of view. I have to bring in a Star Wars thing. Sorry about that. Also, so much fun to work with LHC. LHC Louisiana Healthcare is a sponsor of our show as well, as you know, and work with Home Care Solutions Home Health and Heartlight Hospice. And it was so nice to have Heartlight Hospice on our show last week. So nice to educate the people of the area about hospice. And really, I didn't realize how little people know about hospice. I hope we can have them on again to help educate people further. And a little word about Memorial before I switch back to you, Ed. They are expanding cancer services in this area, and they want to remind people, cancer treatment does not have to be overwhelming, and that's why CHI Memorial offers the safest and most effective cancer treatments available with a customized treatment plan just for you. So now it's more convenient to get the care you need with two locations, one in Chattanooga and now one in North Georgia at CHI Memorial Parkway, which is where I am. Visit memorial.org to learn how CHI Memorial's radiation oncology team can work together to provide support and help when you need it. Once again, CHI doing great work in this area and expanding services at the Parkway location, which is off of Highway 2, really between Fort Oglethorpe and Ringgold. Ed, tell us a little bit about what's going on with you.
Well, thank you so much, my friend. And I am Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World here in Chattanooga. Began that in 1979, so it'll be 40 years this next month.
Wow.
And I am always searching for learning more information about people's health. People, and that includes me. I'm certainly a senior, I will say. I'm not embarrassed to say I will be coming up on 62 years of existence on this earth. And I have been very gifted to have a passion early on. I actually think half of my breath comes from embracing learning about health and nutrition. And I was one of those granola people early on in the 70s I was a hippie with no long hair. And, you know, I've always loved research, science, study. But the stuff that I have learned through my life, you couldn't learn this in school. They didn't teach this until only in the past, actually, maybe 10 years, but the past 7 to 8 is when it started to truly evolve. And what I'm talking about is holistic health, actually looking into the blood chemistry and the physiology of a living body to determine what is it that creates sickness. You know, when you don't sleep at night, it's not because you have a deficiency of of Ambien or sleeping pills. When you have pain, you don't have a deficiency of Advil. You're treating symptoms very often, and what we focus on is what we call functional medicine or functional nutrition, and that's actually looking deeply into what is out of balance so that we can create a harmony back within the chemistry, because the human body, or all living creatures, has an inherent, innate, vital force for healing. And we lose that through the bad habits and the chaotic life and the lack of sleep and the poor nutrition. We simply lose the magic we were born with. So let's recreate that magic. And here we are with this show, which is, again, I've said this many times, I really never envisioned that I would live long enough to see the joining of hands between two different somewhat schools of thought, but now we're finding a common ground. We use the appropriate mainstream medicine approach, and we also now focus on looking deeply, and that's what is going to happen in the future. There is no stopping this trend. It is now built from the grassroots efforts, and we have not reached a tipping point in my mind, but we will, because they're still not really teaching this. And that's the thing. And I don't know, you certainly know far more about this than I, but if a med student is graduating today, I'm still not sure they're actually getting this kind of knowledge. And the one reason is because there's so much on the other side, they still have to teach them. And you can only pack the brain in with so many things. So there is other categories of people who are choosing to specialize, but I don't know if the mainstream people, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, let me throw that out, a little thought I was having. So I had a lot of thoughts. Of course, my mind is always just roaming hither and thither as you speak. So, you know, talking about the joining of hands, they do teach in medical school to not throw medications at every little problem that comes up. We have seniors that end up on 15 different medications, most of which they don't need. And so they do, even back in my day, and I'm sure now, try to teach to treat the patient, not a lab, treat the patient, not the test, to figure out, you know, what the person, what the individual actually needs, and not just to cover them up with medications. But do they teach herbal medicine? Do they teach non-traditional? That's a good question. I will say for the medical schools, I don't know. But having a child that's about to go to medical school, I'll have a lot more information for you by this time next year. I mean, firsthand. So that's good. What I can say is, I have the pleasure to work with both Southern Adventist University and UAB to train nurse practitioner students. And I will say that so far, every single student has had more knowledge already in their head about non-traditional medicine coming to me than I did coming out of medical school. And that's promising. So they're, you know, finishing their training by the time they get to me. But they already start with a fairly decent knowledge base. And the good thing is I'm able to then impart more knowledge about non-traditional and traditional medicine, so I'm mixing the two together. But at least in those two institutions and that group of people, nurse practitioner students, I am seeing a more balanced approach to learning, where they're learning both the traditional and non-traditional approach. So there may be hope for the medical schools and training of our providers, after all, for the future.
And, you know, nothing changes overnight, and I appreciate that. And I do know that colleges like Southern Missionary have kind of been grounded in somewhat of the respect for the innate healing capacity of our body. And, of course, that's my whole life, and that's what why we're here. And I know that you also respect that. And part of that, the first step is not over-medicating and just thinking that is curing. Medication is so important in the appropriate times, but realizing deeply that there has to be another box that you open to join with that healing protocol. I know today we're going to have a great guest, and before I even say that, I do want to say that, you know, last week on the discussion on Alzheimer's, hospice, I really did learn a lot about that. Because I know the general public, unless you've gone through it, you don't really understand the necessity and the value of it. And Heartline, is that the...
Yes, Heartline Hospice.
Heartline Hospice. And I have told several people this week who came in how much I learned about that. So Dee Dee did a great job of explaining it. But today we're going to talk about... Alzheimer's, and we have a wonderfully vibrant, vivacious, which I talked to her yesterday, and you were right, great personality, yeah. And we're going to learn some about, or a lot about, what some of the options and other things. But what I want to segue into that conversation with is I have some very strong thoughts on ideas and prevention methods that we should embrace if we have the fear of getting Alzheimer's, say through family history, genetics, or just simply is that your dreaded disease. I think all of us, or many of us, including me, kind of could put on a list of, okay, you know, I'm kind of okay if I die from this, but I really don't want to get this. And so if that's at the top of your list, there is some protocols that we know addresses the risk factors for this that can truly delay the inevitable if you have that on your map of life. So I will speak of that as we get further in the show. But I'm anxious to learn the two things, I guess. You know, I talk about health all day long. You do too. You talk about, you know, and help disease, health, and crises. But, you know, the hospice thing and the Alzheimer's thing, those are huge, and they are conversations that sometimes it's not comfortable because it actually, you know, makes us have to embrace something that's simply fearful and scary.
No one likes to discuss their own mortality, or most people don't.
Exactly, but the fact that we don't discuss it doesn't make it go away. And then when you're in the crisis and you're falling off the cliff, is not the time to start looking for your answers. Try to be informed now. Well, you know, it's already time for us to take a break. And when we come back, we will be discussing a whole lot of information on the Alzheimer's topic. So we've got that, plus more to come. For Dr. Christopher Green, I'm Ed Jones. Stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet, and keep us tuned in each Sunday morning right here on 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones, back again with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green, and we have, a very important and interesting conversation with a wonderful lady, Lorraine Ramey, who is the Program Director of the Alzheimer's Association North Georgia chapter. Welcome, Lorraine.
Thank you, Ed, and thank you, Dr. Green.
Well, thank you for being here.
You know, Alzheimer's, if anyone has had experiences with their family or even themselves at the beginning or any stages, it's devastating at so many levels. I mean, you could use all kind of words to describe the suffering that can go on with losing the sense of who you are. And I know I just ask Ms. Ramey about how many people in Georgia have Alzheimer's, and it is a fluctuating thing.
Well, Ed, let me throw in. Yeah. I'll let you know, I just looked it up, and about 5.7 million Americans have a diagnosis of Alzheimer's in 2018. Now, that includes 5.5 million people age 65 and older, and about 200,000 people under age 65 who have a younger onset Alzheimer's.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it seems to be increasing for multiple reasons that I will be speaking about on the third segment of this show. I have some very strong opinions on what we could be doing to slow and perhaps even halt the progression of this in the early and before early stages. And that is one thing mainstream medicine is not focusing on. There's 36 different physiological effects and reasons why the brain gets Alzheimer's. That's why the fallacy of a drug is simply not going to happen, because imagine you have a roof of your house with 36 holes in it. A drug's going to patch one of the 36 holes. It won't make that big a difference. We know the things that are causing it, and yet a drug's not going to fix it. It's called functional medicine. It has all to do with inflammation of the brain, blank, blank, blank. But that's for the next chapter. I don't want to hog this.
Yeah, one more stat let me throw out. I just found out that between 2000 and 2015, the deaths associated with Alzheimer's increased by 123%. So that is an incredible statistic. So many other cause of death, all cause, and breast cancer, prostate cancer, heart disease, stroke, and HIV were decreasing during that 2000 to 2015. Alzheimer's went up by 123%.
Scary stuff, isn't it, Lorraine?
Yes, it is. Alzheimer's is the sixth leading cause of death.
Really?
It is. It's the sixth leading cause of death. And of the top 10, it's the only disease that does not have some sort of cure, some way to prevent it or to slow it down.
Well, I believe the opposite of that, not to argue at all by any means, but because the mainstream medicine simply hasn't looked at what I will be speaking about. But this is really about what do we do when a family member, what services do you offer that can help us through this tragic time of, and before I even get to that, what is the norm from the time someone's diagnosed to the time they pass away? Is there an average?
It can be anywhere from 6 months to 20, 25 years.
Wow, really?
It does. It just depends on the progression of the disease and what type of dementia they possibly have.
And so with your organization, the that you are associated with, you're the program director. Let's say, just an example, I have a family member. What services could I use that I'm completely not aware that you could have for people like me or anyone who had a family member who is diagnosed with this?
Well, as a program director, I'm responsible for creating programs within my 15 counties in North Georgia. And during those, it could be an education on a better way to communicate, a better way to redirect behaviors. Sometimes we do educations just to be aware of the 10 signs to look for. If you're curious, if your loved one might be experiencing some signs of dementia. But also, I do all sorts of educations, whether it be professional or for caregivers. Most of our material and clinicians are there more for the caregiver than the actual person with the disease. We have a 24/7 hotline or helpline that we have master level clinicians there 24/7 that can help families if they're going through a crisis, if they're feeling overwhelmed at that time, and to give them ways to redirect that loved one. Let's say that loved one's wanting to go outside and wander and don't recognize their surroundings. They can call that helpline and someone can help them try to redirect the person with the disease.
Wow, I can only imagine the need for what you're offering. And also, you know, a person, it's midnight at night and you know, no one goes, usually people always who go through this with family members, they it's their first time. I mean, how are they supposed to know? They're not. And so to have a hotline, I mean, like, how would a person connect with you? Is this something that anyone can call and what is it, joining up, or how does it work?
Anyone can call if you're dealing with someone that's suffering with dementia, and you simply call 1-800-272-3900 and they are there 24/7.
Wow. You know, you were mentioning all the, you know, the support you give to the families, and how hard it is for them. You know, Ed, you asked about Georgia statistics. I'm over here madly typing on my computer. 2018, currently 140,000 patients, projected in 2025, 190,000, and on a 2017 survey, the caregivers for those diagnosed with Alzheimer's in that year were 527,000 individuals. So that's the people affected, the families affected by that. I mean, that's a survey. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that's a lot of people.
Dr. Green, it is accurate based on the data that we have, because there's a lot of people that suffer from dementia that never gets a diagnosis because they could be in denial or their family could be in denial. So that's the ones that actually have been diagnosed. Every 65 seconds, someone has an onset of a symptom of dementia.
Does the Alzheimer's Association also help those suffering from other types of dementia, like Parkinson's, dementia, Lewy body, things like that?
Yes, sir. We help anybody that has any form of dementia. It's not just Alzheimer's.
Now, is this, again, I'm a little bit confused from my standpoint. Now, is this something that my insurance will help pay? What are the charges? How does all that work?
Everything is free.
Really?
Everything we do is free. A lot of my workshops are anywhere from 2 to 3 hours. I have a geriatric nurse practitioner that also sometimes does workshops for me, but I also have elder law attorneys that come in and do an education on legal and financial for families. We sometimes have neurologists come in and talk about the disease, ways to redirect, help with communications, things like that. My background is basically social work, so I try to provide a lot of resources to people that call in and want to know what's out there. A lot of people don't know about home care services and that they can, you know, have hospice services.
I was about to ask about that. So last week we had Heartlight Hospice on the show. Do you ever partner with hospice companies to help serve the patients?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I partner with many, many home health agencies, home care agencies. I help with hospice. We're a team. That is what we are. I have several volunteers that work under me that belong to those organizations just because they have such a passion of trying to help the people and help them find resources in the community.
Well, you know, I had no idea because this is certainly outside the scope of what I have done for 40 years, but I feel it's such a value, and I'm so excited that we can have people like you on to educate people who, like me, who simply don't know these services are available. And many probably may find out too late after they've gone through a vast experience. They've wasted a lot of time trying their best to figure this out, not knowing there's services are available. One question. You say, you know, you're from North Georgia, so people in Tennessee can still access this?
They can, but we also have an office in Chattanooga.
Oh, okay.
And we have a program director in Chattanooga, and we have support groups all around the area.
Good.
And you can go to whichever one is most convenient. We don't, we're a national nonprofit, and we're here to help the people. We don't care if you go to Chattanooga or you go to North Georgia.
I love it. Well, I know you mentioned, and I know we're not going to get specifically into, you know, trying to diagnose and things like that, but you kind of alluded to, you know, like, I'm loose, you know, I can't find my keys sometimes. I, you know, all the things that happen to us is, I mean, what is a big significant bullet point or really concerning thing in someone's life where they might want to start pursuing seeing someone like Dr. Green or whoever, getting an evaluation? What would be some
of
those?
I have a comment on that in a minute, too.
Okay.
Basically, it's not the fact that you lose your keys. It's the fact that when you pick those keys up, you don't know what it goes to. Yeah. You don't know how. You don't know what does this go to. How does this operate? It's when you start having trouble doing the things that you've always done. It interferes with your activities of daily living. When you notice that you're maybe losing some gaps in time, like you left the house and you were going to go to Walmart and you don't end up at Walmart and you're confused as to how you got where you're at. One key sign for family members is if they start having little fender benders.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because their judgment is altered. So they may not stop at a stop sign and get a ticket, or they may T-bone somebody, or somebody may T-bone them because they can't judge the difference or the distance between the car coming toward them.
So part of this is like losing the judgment of distance?
Yes, it can
really
be. Yes, it can really be, because you may think that car is far enough away to where you can go and you can't.
Wow.
What's a general global dysfunction of your brain? So they're losing the ability to do regular activities of daily living. I love what Larray said about forgetting how to use an object, like picking up a pen, trying to eat your food with it. Something like that is, I mean, that's pretty obvious if you see a relative doing that. One thing I've seen over the years that wasn't taught in medical school is most of the people that come to my office and say, oh, no, Dr. Green, I can't find my car. I lose my car keys. I think I have Alzheimer's. They probably don't. So if they have the wherewithal and personal insight to ask that question, there's a good chance they don't. It's not 100%, but it's a good marker. If that same individual is brought in by three family members who are telling me they've seen all these different behaviors that are off and the patient denies everything, that's a danger sign right there. They have no insight into this. They're denying it, but you have more than one person saying, I see this happening. So those are things the community can watch too. And if that's, you know, if they're seeing that second picture, mm-hmm. yeah, you probably need to get in and talk to your medical provider.
Wow.
And one thing I suggest to families, if they're wondering if their loved one could be showing some signs and symptoms, is to keep a journal. Because you can't always remember all the things that happen, but just to get you a notebook and, you know, jot down today's date, what time, and mom or dad did this or that, and just see what pattern you come up with.
Right. So that would, yeah, an online little diary or written diary sound like that would make great sense.
They could take that into the provider as well. That
because
would help.
We know there's not a blood test, there's not a definitive way to say, is
there? There is a spinal tap that will show whether or not you have markers.
Right.
But just because you have markers doesn't mean you will ever get the disease.
And the specificity and sensitivity on certain scans, like the newer MRIs, sometimes we are having the radiologist say, this is consistent with Alzheimer's, this is consistent with Parkinson's. They're seeing changes. And it's not diagnostic, but it is suggestive of.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tell people one more time, Lorraine, this has been fantastic information, how they can contact you if they have fears that a family member is having this and they're going to have to be a caretaker. How would they, again, contact you?
We always ask that people go through our 24/7 helpline, and then if it needs to be broken down to the office level, then they send me an email, and I always follow up with the family to see if we need to do a care consultant or mail out literature or things like that.
Now, without ask you a question here. So, if you could, a person can call a hotline without ever seeing you?
Sure.
Really?
They're there 24/7.
Oh, I see.
And they're master level clinicians.
Wow.
There.
Yeah. So if someone right now listening, they're a caretaker, and so tell them more about this again.
Well, if you call the 1-800, like I'm not in the office today.
Right.
So if you were to call my office, you would get my voicemail. And I'm always out in the community, so I'm not available 40 hours a week. So with the hotline, anyone in Georgia or Tennessee or Alabama, wherever this goes, can call this one number and get help. And it's 1-800-272-3900, but you can also go to our website alz.org, and there are tons of resources and things you can look up.
Wow, this has been so valuable, Lorraine. Thank you for joining us, and it's already time for us to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be discussing more about your health and some memory things that I've got some ideas on. So we've got that plus more to come. For Dr. Christopher Green, I'm Ed Jones. Stay with us.
We're all about healthy living and enjoying life. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones, along with my partner, Dr. Green, and here we are again talking about our health and your health. Have you eaten at any place new this past week, Dr. Green?
Well, I did more sitting and talking than eating, but yeah, I ran near the mall to Jim and Nick's Barbecue, so I hadn't been there before, but unfortunately I was late. I know my daughter said she really enjoyed her meal, likes the food there. Great waiter, Devin, I'm going to give a shout out to you. Great guy, so I got to talk to him a bit, and he kept bringing their fresh homemade biscuits, by the way. I will tell you what, I don't know what to call these things, biscuits, rolls, what, but they had cheese in them, and I know that's not healthy, but oh my goodness, they were so good. And they do have a homemade butter there. You know, I looked over the menu, lots of good, you know, typical barbecue type plates. I will say the place was crowded, so the food has to be really, really good. I know what little I had was really good. You know, pulled pork and brisket and turkey, chicken, they had all of those. They had some healthy choices like fruit plates and collard greens, things like that maybe you would like. So just looking through that, a lot of some bad things like, you know, barbecue chips. They have coleslaw there, and they have the calories listed, like 120 calories for the coleslaw. As far as exactly what's in it, Can't tell you that. Would have to go and ask them. But I will tell you, the atmosphere was good. Parking isn't bad. You're right there by the mall for Christmas shopping and New Year's events and whatnot. So it's a nice little place. It's where the Fox and the Hound used to be. I know when I got maps to take me, it actually took me to Big River Grill. So apparently Google does not yet know where this place is, but it's where the old Fox and the Hound was, near Carrabba's, right near there.
I can, I've seen it as I passed many times, and thank you for that. You know, when I go to a restaurant, I am a very picky particular person, probably far more than other people. That doesn't mean that you're not going to walk in and see me eat a piece of apple pie or have a glass of something adult beverage-wise, but 90% of the time, I'm very particular about my food choices, and I have learned the reality of my life is I am going to eat out. I no longer expect perfection. What I do want is the options of something that can help balance the whole meal. And when I say balance, I have to have a vegetable. I do like to choose cabbages. So you told me they had coleslaw. I like the fact they list the calories, because then we can look and see how much, you know, how much we're actually consuming, and how much the things I look for is the sugar, maybe it's the sodium, maybe the fat. I like high fat diets, but I only like the high fat if it's from a good source, like avocado oil, not canola, not really mayonnaise, unless the mayonnaise is using something of good origin. And I, of course, I love coconut oil and olive oil and things like that. But so thank you for that. And I
do you like collards, by the way? I have not had collards until last month for the first time in my life.
No, you're kidding me.
And they're really good. So.
Oh my gosh, you're not Southern boy. Collards are excellent as far as, you know, the raw materials. You can ruin them by what you put in them, but many people don't. I mean, I still think a lot of collard greens as far as counting that as one of my vegetables. You know, we're talking about memory. This has been a great show on, you know, people who have family members who are experiencing the tragedy of a diagnosis of Alzheimer's. And Lorraine was phenomenal for helping people to know how to get help. Now, part of, you know, my 40-year career, a big part has been the fascination with the brain, what it takes to maintain a healthy, functioning, sharp-thinking brain as we age is probably near the top of my list, because I fly small planes. I still work harder than I ever have in my life. I need to be on my game. And a lot of people are, you know, talking about the Alzheimer's, one of the Alzheimer's genes. There's many, but there's one called APOE4. And I have seen a lot of people who have, and a lot of it's my recommendation sometimes, is to get a test to see if you have APOE4, because this is going to put you at a different risk for Alzheimer's. But the thing about genetic testing for me, and I'm a self-admitted kind of quirky guy, I'm not saying I'm mainstream, is I don't think I will do any genetic testing unless I have some options to address it. The good thing about APOE4, you know what? We know for an absolute fact we can silence that gene. We all have genes which are blueprints, basically like a blueprint to build a house. Well, this blueprint called APOE4, we don't want it to be active. We don't want it to be awake. Well, you know how you can silence this gene more effectively than any one gene there probably is in the body? Intermittent fasting and keto diets. We know that intermittent fasting will turn this gene off, because in the whole scope of living on this earth for however many tens of thousands of years, we have had to go through famines. And when the APOE4 actually will make you live longer if you are in a famine situation. So it was put there for a purpose. It isn't like a bad piece to the machine. It had a purpose during all those years of off and on famines. The thing is, we have no famines now. And when you don't have a famine, then the gene becomes active.
Well, let me ask. I mean, we've talked about keto diets a lot, and I know Nutrition World has a couple coming up in January, a couple of classes, which we can mention later. With fasting, there are numerous types of fasting that people can do. Which type of fasting are you referring to?
Well, the studies seem to be pointing very clearly to what we call intermittent fasting. And it's one of the few aspects of health that I have feared embracing. I have been a person who actually has fought to maintain and keep weight on because I've always eaten five times a day for my entire life, and I still keep my body fat extremely low. And because what I've done works, I've always been afraid to miss a meal. Well, I've finally had to succumb to the overwhelming research of intermittent fasting. So what my attempt is to go 14 hours and not consume anything but water. And so I will try to eat. Sometimes I will eat at 5 o'clock in the evening, my supper. And I have lived my whole life eating a snack at 8 p.m. My entire almost 62 years, I have eaten at 8 p.m. every night. Well, I'm not doing that any longer. And believe it or not, number one is I'm sleeping a little better. I feel different. I feel a little more rejuvenated in the mornings. My stomach is having no issues at all. And I just feel, I know intuitively it's the right thing to do. Now, I cannot sleep well if I go to bed what I would call hungry. So last night I came home and I really was hungry. So I'm only doing this maybe four nights a week. And the other three, I'm still eating my snack. But that's, and we are going to have and then keto is similar in a different way, and I'm not going to explain it on the radio, but a keto diet is where you try to teach the body to burn fat for fuel instead of carbohydrates and protein. What that does for brain cells is purely miraculous in certain cases, because the brain loves to run on fat for fuel instead of carbohydrates. The carbohydrates is significantly damaging the mitochondrial function of the body and brain. If it's anything above normal, and I can assure you the American diet is double above normal, and the type we're eating is simply not the healthier type. So we are going to teach another class at Nutrition World on the keto diet, and we will be discussing intermittent fasting. You certainly don't have to attend to learn that. It's very easy. Go 14 hours without eating and drink water. So, but on January 8th, we're going to have a beginner's class called Keto 101. And then on January 29th, we're having an advanced class for those who have already had some experiences and other things where they don't really need the basics. It is not a difficult diet. You have done it, Dr. Green. I know you've played with it. You still stay in phenomenal shape. I've seen you actually, and my memory's a little vague, but it looks like you're always getting in better shape with time, and I don't think you're upping your workouts or doing anything different. So,
oh no, well, I had to back off the keto diet. I mean, losing 35 pounds in 6 weeks. it was incredible. So, and I wasn't even doing it as hard as I could, but I was running and lifting, as you know. I got tired of the patient saying, oh no, do you have cancer? And I'm like, no, I'm on a diet. That's where they got interested and said, oh, teach me, tell me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, lots of interest when they see their doctor losing weight and find out it's not a bad diagnosis. I had to back off of that and actually not lose weight. So I'm not doing the keto, but I'm not doing it strictly. I'm letting some carbs back in. But frankly, I felt better on the keto diet when I was more strict than I do when I'm not being as strict on it. So lately, haven't been exercising as much as I would like, you know, over the holidays, very busy. There's always something to do. So I need to get back into that. But a few days less per week at the gym than I would like, which makes them a lot more painful when I go. But thank you for the kind words. I feel like I'm slacking with the diet and exercise, and it's nice to hear that maybe it's not showing quite as badly as I think.
Well, one thing I have learned, and with all of my experiences and research and readings, is there is actually a resetting of the physiology that can occur with a three-month keto diet. And what we mean by resetting is, how many of us at 20 years old never had an issue with weight or pain or inflammation, and then, you know, 30 and 40 hits and things start slipping a little, and 40, 45, 50, and then, you know, we look at a pack of crackers and we gain weight. We can't lose weight if we go to the gym, this and that. Well, the biggest part of that is the chemistry, the blood chemistry, the physiological chemistry actually has gotten into like a computer that has a virus in it, and the processing of information has been distracted in many levels. Well, when you do a keto diet, and I wish I could say it always did this, but you are not the first. You are one of many who have told me the exact same thing, which is, I was really good for 3 months. I lost weight. Now I'm kind of back on a normal but healthy diet. But but it's like my metabolism is far better than it used to be. So true. I'm big to encourage even a 3-month protocol of a keto diet, but you got to know how to do it right. I've had people with side effects. It's not for everyone. So let the consumer be informed. And
is there a cost for the upcoming classes?
No cost at all. All free. Go to nutritionw.com under events, and you can just sign up there. It probably will be sold out, so sign up at least to get your free ticket. It's time for us to take a break. When we come back, we will be having Dr. Green's spiritual moment. We've got that plus more to come. For Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones, and stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet and keep us tuned in each Sunday morning right here on 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones, along with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green, and in our fourth segment, we always look forward to Dr. Green's spiritual moment.
Thank you again, Ed, for that kind introduction. And as always, the spiritual moment is brought to you by Silverdale Baptist Church. If you do want to learn more about Silverdale, just visit their website, which is silverdalebc.com. That's silverdalebc.com. Also, they have a nice free app you can download that has all the worship times and a lot of information about the church and staff. So today, as we are nearing New Year's, there are plenty of people that are going through hard times, feeling brokenhearted and stressed, and we're going to be talking on that issue again today. Let me start with a few verses first. Psalm chapter 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Then Psalm chapter 145, verse 14. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. Then a part of Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 16. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. And last, Psalm chapter 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. So, do you feel broken? Are you brokenhearted? Have you been injured and feel there can't be any healing for your crushed spirit? Well, God's promise to heal the brokenhearted is for all people, everywhere. God is a healer, a restorer of souls. He lifts the spirits of those who feel there is no hope. Life is truly hard and can beat us up like we've been in the boxing ring. It may have been verbal abuse, physical abuse, rejection, or difficult circumstances of any type in life. But any of these things and many more can crush us emotionally and spiritually. I would encourage those who are brokenhearted during this time of the year to call out to God. He is close to all who call on Him and ready to heal your heart and your spirit. He is in the business of binding up our wounds. There is hope. Never forget that. Let me close with a passage from Lamentations chapter 3. Verses 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And that is your spiritual moment for the day. Ed, back to you.
Thank you so much for an important, timely message of hope. I know there's a ancient healer that always said, no matter what you do, never take away someone's hope. And that is one of the most effective medicines on earth. You know, speaking again, like we have been on this show on memory, I will have to say that I am admiring and reading very much from a gentleman named Dr. Dale Bredesen. And he has something called the RECODE protocol. And he's saying that again, from a functional medicine perspective, if we can early on really look at the chemistry of someone, we can alter a lot, or at least delay the inevitable of many diseases, but one of those is memory loss. So anyone who's significantly wanting to aggressively embrace a prevention program, because the truth is, and I've seen this for 40 years, I know you have too, Dr. Green, there is a window of opportunity with all diseases, but I think with Alzheimer's, you have far less options that once you're in the throes of it, there's really, it's so limiting what you can do. And I think the whole concept or big part of it should be prevention. And, you know, they actually call Alzheimer's type 3 diabetes because the brain is on fire because of a lot of excess sugar that's going into it. And this Dr. Dale Bredesen on the RECODE protocol could give your physician the protocol, or you can go to someone locally, Meredith Mason's a nurse practitioner who actually embraces this protocol, and she's at briomedicine.com, briomedicine.com, that if you're interested in learning more, you certainly could book an appointment and go talk to her about that. But, you know, as far as myself, I'm huge about two things, omega-3s and vitamin D. The brain is half made of the fats of omega-3, at least half made. And when you are eating foods that don't contain omega-3, it's going to contain some fat. And if it's plastic fat like margarine, canola oil, safflower oils, heated oils that are rancid like every piece of French fries that we eat, you're going to have building blocks that are inferior. And guess what? Inferior building blocks builds inferior cells, and then you have disease.
You know, and two of the things you mentioned are two things I do every day. So the omega-3s and the vitamin D, that's two of the supplements that I hit every day. And there are numerous reasons from anti-inflammatory, for the things that I pick, anti-inflammatory versus immune system, general health, for how I pick what I pick. But it's basically the same thing I'm going to recommend to most of my patients. So we do similarly, although I don't think I do as much as you do.
Well, again, I tell people this all the time, and this hasn't always been my conversation. There was a time, most of my life, I really thought if I put together the right program and the nutrients and the foods and the exercise, I'm going to live to be 100. I actually don't think that's going to happen anymore. What I want is quality. I want to live the 99.7% of my life functional, thinking clearly, active, able to do what I want, and so far it's working extremely well. I do want to change the subject all of a sudden completely. I want to talk about the excitement that I have about the Farm Bill that passed. The Farm Bill passed just recently, and what that means for me and Nutrition World and this community is the 60-year history of the attack on hemp has now been settled. We now have the legal status that hemp oil, which is amazing for so many things, from pain to this to that, and so many people who are trying wisely to not be on opiates, they're accessing hemp oil as one of the options. Because see, hemp oil doesn't make you high. It doesn't make you loopy. It gives you the healing capacity of something called cannabinoids. And we, on this show, under past shows, if you want to learn about this, you can go on and look under the past shows under hemp, because we've interviewed John Kennedy twice.
And yeah, I know at least twice.
You enjoy talking to him.
We've learned a lot.
I learn all the time from these experts. Now, on January 15th, we are going to have a different individual. It is going to be the title, What You Need to Know About Hemp. And I will repeat, hemp oil, don't believe anyone who says it doesn't have THC and that you will pass drug test.
But maybe we can have some smart biomedical engineer tag the substance that's in the hemp oil so they can test it and differentiate it from the illegal type. I would really like somebody to do that one day.
Well, it's still legal, even though you're failing the blood test, because you can legally, even in the old days before the passage of the Farm Bill, 0.03 was legal, but that was still, if you did it four times a day, would trigger a positive because it looks like THC.
And I'm thinking of our patients that are in pain management, because that will trigger a conflict with the pain management provider.
It will. And now that someone's going to have to readjust the system, because now that it's legal, and I kind of have a mixed feelings on this, you are going to walk in to Target next year and you're going to buy hemp oil. It's scary because this is not an exact science. It would be like me offering cell phones, and I don't even know what I would be doing or carrying. I'm just going to say, okay, I've got a cell phone for sale for $100. Come buy my cell phone. We know that that can range from worthless to excellent in between. Well, the same with hemp. Oh. It isn't going to hurt people, but they're not going to find the right product. They're not going to use it right. We are so cautious at Nutrition World. You never have to worry about quality or advice, but we are not the norm. That's
but everybody's going to start carrying it now.
Oh, everybody. It's going to be at every gas station, every place you go, and it's good and it's not good. But if we didn't get the Farm Bill passed, it was at risk for staying classified or reclassified as a status drug that would be completely against the law. And I will, and my employees and I talked about this just 2 days ago. 2 years ago, when this first started with the kind of concentrated hemp oil that we have, we hid it in my office under cover in a drawer. No one could sell it except me because I had to talk to the person to make sure that I felt safe and this and that. It wasn't illegal and it wasn't legal. It was still in that no man's land, which is freaking scary because it could close your business if you did something like that. So I am just overjoyed that we now have a fresh start with this hemp oil.
That's awesome. The only other thing I've heard of that I don't even know if it's for sure true or not is that, you know, as we've talked about Alzheimer's, we've talked about hospice a little bit on the last couple of shows, really, is that there may be a restructuring of some of the Medicare coverage related to Alzheimer's and hospice. Now, that's something I would say, listeners, keep your ears tuned for that. As I hear more information, I'll try to pass that on. But that's something near and dear to medical practice and hospice in this area. And if so, there will be better coverage, just like there's more provision for people with hemp oils and whatnot. There will be more provision for some hospice care and dementias, perhaps, I mean, if it passes. So I'll just leave that very vague right there, but keep listening for further news.
Yes, and thank you for that. And let's all remember that for every bad news headlines that we're running across, there's 10,000 wonderful, beautiful things happening. The person who lets you go through the intersection this morning, the one person who, you know, stooped down and helped you if you dropped something. Let's not always focus on this negative stuff, because the press and everybody is really selling negativity because that's what gets attention. That is not the norm of our life, and we seem to have fallen into this darkness of negativity. So be positive as best we can. Be wise. And you know what? That does it for this week's edition of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial, 98.1 The Lake, a production from the Whitfield Media Group and website by Avalon. Thank you for listening. We'll be back here again next Sunday morning, 9 a.m. for a radio show that's all about your healthy living. For Dr. Green and Ed Jones from Nutrition World, have a healthy and safe day.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake with Ed Jones and Dr. Christopher Green. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, is a production of Whitfield Media Group. Join us next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and have a great weekend.